centuries and the thousands of years since they were built, we'll try to adjust the focus of, let's see if we can get that a little clearer. But there are 2.5 million stones, that's good. As I said, averaging 2.5 tons in the Great Pyramid for the Pharaoh Khufu, and the Pharaoh Khufre, the Great Sphinx in front of it, still looks out on the plains with clear African features. Not only was it so massive, but the stones fit so closely together that mortar was not needed. And 2 miles of these sphinxes originally lined the walk from one end of the Karnak temples to the other in honor of the woman who was the most famous woman pharaoh, Queen Hatshepsut. The question will be discussed was Euclid's last. Question also comes up about the Egyptians, and this is one of the pharaohs whose features are clearly African. One of the greatest inventions in Africa was the making of a type of paper from the papyrus, which you see here, the papyrus plant. These monoliths have suffered erosion from the pollution that every industrial country has developed. But we have it here to give you, in perspective, an idea of the size of and some idea of the organization, engineering, and design that was needed to produce these magnificent structures. Two of the obelisks that I mentioned. One of the most beautiful buildings in the world, the temple for Queen Hatshepsut. This is a statue of King Thutmose III, who became known as in modern history as the Black Napoleon. Don't think of this as gray stone. Traces of some of the brilliant color, if you can project that over these vast pyramids, they were ablaze with color and painting. How were the pyramids built? No spaceship came down, and there was no invasion by any people outside of Africa. It was built with cool planning, and you see the remains of a ramp that rose around these massive structures. Here's some more of it left, originally made with mud, or rather clay bricks. As the structure rose, the ramp rose with it. This, known as the unfinished obelisk, it was excavated about 3,500 years ago, and then they had to leave it in place because when they got the top surface off, they saw that there were cracks that were deepening, were not just surface cracks. And in the quarry nearby are the regular quarry marks with the labels as to which crew was to work there. These massive monuments were shipped 600 miles from the quarries you just saw up to the area near Cairo. In boats very much like these, but they used 30 to pull a big barge. By the way, that sail, somebody had to invent a sail. The earliest sailboat ever shown is drawn on the cliffs and on pottery that comes from Nubia and goes back about 6,000 years. The Nile River, of course, was the lifeblood of ancient Egypt and of modern Egypt today. It was so important. Accidentally, I got this young man as he was coming up from his swim. But the reason I took the picture, do you see to the lower right of him are notches in the stone. What you see there are called nilometers, used to measure the height of the annual flood. Our earliest example of the collection of statistics and of accurate measurements goes back to about 3100 BCE, where nilometers were used all along the river, and there's more to that we'll go into in a moment. Wherever the Nile's water did not reach, the desert began. It's almost like a sharp line between the lush green and the desert sand. Finally, Ramesses II and Mount Rushmore was not original. This is where they got the idea for it. This was carved into the stone of the hill on an island, and since that time they moved the whole hill, and these monuments piece by piece. And this gives you some idea of the scale that we're talking about. An astronomical ceiling in one of the tombs. I'm going to close with this. While it doesn't deal with mathematics, it deals with the organization of life in ancient Egypt, where sanitation, you know, they say cleanliness is next to godliness. They believed it was part of godliness. And you see in the marketplace people shaving and getting haircuts. The ancient Egyptians washed twice a day, rubbed their skins down with salt to kill the germs, and then oil to soothe it. With that short trip to ancient Egypt, we'll move on to the original question, was Euclid an African? He was known as Euclid of Alexandria. Where was Alexandria? In Egypt. And where is Egypt? In Africa. The answer appears to be simple. Of course Euclid was an African. But not so fast, some will say. What do we really know about Euclid? We know that Euclid compiled the extremely influential 13-volume Elements and other important works in Alexandria, Egypt, period. Nothing else about Euclid is known. Much as scholars have searched, nothing has been found that shows that Euclid ever left Africa or was ever on any continent other than Africa. Since Euclid's productive life as a mathematician was entirely in Africa, it's only fair to call him an African mathematician. Some writers during the Middle Ages confused him with Euclid of Megara, which is in Greece. Pictures of Euclid of Megara still appear in some histories of mathematics as the author of the Elements. The fact is that no likeness of Euclid of Alexandria has come down to us. And incidentally, Euclid of Megara was a philosopher, not even a mathematician. Now, many writers now admit that Egyptian scholars such as Euclid, Diophantus, we'll hear more about him tonight, Hieron, and Hypatia were African. And some like Albert Schenker, African, yes, they concede, but quickly add, but not black. Personally, I find this placement of the question offensive and unscientific. The term black embraces diverse African peoples who are united in many aspects of their history and culture. Among these African peoples are the people of Egypt and of Nubia, who built the great civilizations, some of whose works you saw today. Most authorities now admit the Egyptian civilization was an African civilization. The evidence is overwhelming. The hieroglyphs are based on African flora and fauna. The earliest known hieroglyphs are from southern Egypt and Nubia, and the direction of their spread was to the north, from south to north. And the Egyptian religion has been shown to have cultural affinities with other African religions. Although nothing is known about the appearance of Euclid and other Egyptian scholars of that time, the important subject, I believe, is the work they did. Their work developed out of a long African tradition of mathematics. No doubt, some of the Alexandrian mathematicians were immigrants from other countries. But as is the case with the United States today, the brains that were drained because Egypt was like a magnet attracting scholars from all over the world. The brains that were drained were absorbed by the culture of the attracting country. Even the ruling Ptolemies, appointed by Alexander the Conqueror, even the Ptolemies adopted the Egyptian religion and played the role of pharaohs. Likewise, the Alexandrian school of mathematics continued the work of earlier African mathematicians. Why are some writers trying to deprive African Americans of their heritage by claiming that Egyptians were not black? I believe such attempts are more a reflection of American apartheid mentality than a search for historical truth. It's part of the European-American preoccupation with color, a racist frame of mind that resulted from hundreds of years of enslaving and colonizing Africans and other people of color. Those who claim that Egyptians are not black are careful never to define the term, because they use it one way in the United States and want to use it another way in Africa. Geneticists have found that present-day Africans are more diverse genetically than people of other continents. The scientific implication is that people have been in Africa longer than any other place, and that's part of the scientific evidence that the human race began in Africa. But it doesn't get it, as I've heard some say, well, then we're all Africans. They cannot try to dismiss the whole race issue by saying that. We still have a school curriculum that has written Africans and other people of color out of history, and that gives Europeans the credit for discoveries recorded by people of color long before anyone in Europe learned to write. We still have babies in Chicago, where I come from, dying because of racism. Racism has to be exposed wherever it shows up. So the real subject today is to try to uncover the African foundations of mathematics that laid the groundwork for Euclid's work. The earliest mathematical record, as we saw in the slides, is 37,000 years old, with 29 tallies suggesting a lunar calendar. That was followed by the Ashango bone that you saw on the slide, which showed a possible multiplication by two. Is there a connection to the later Egyptian multiplication, which, as we'll see, is also based on multiplication by two? The earliest known numerical texts appear in Egypt about 3100 BCE. They are the Narma Macehead and an artifact called the Metropolitan Museum Knife Handle. On the Narmer Macehead, Narmer, who may have been the same as Menes, was the first pharaoh that united northern and southern Egypt. We already see a fully developed decimal system. These are hundreds of thousands. And under the cattle, we see 400,000. Those two finger-like are 10,000, symbols for 10,000, thousands. And this is 1,000,000. 3100 BCE, and there's a need for a symbol for the quantity 1,000,000. Let's think of what that implies. Those are the Egyptian units, the tens, and that's where the great conceptual breakthrough came. 100,000, 10,000, 100,000, and the man who hits a lotto, 1,000,000. And we'll read this as, you can read it for me, hundreds, 200, 10, and 3 units, 213. It's easy for us to overlook the importance of these early African conceptual breakthroughs, such as the invention of ciphers. One of the history of math writers who's given a pretty fair account of this, Carl Boyer, describes, and I quote, "The principle of cipherization introduced by the Egyptians some 4,000 years ago and used in the Rhine Papyrus represented an important contribution to numeration, and it is one of the factors that makes our own system in use today the effective instrument that it is." And in very short order, a cursive form of very rapid writing of the numerals were developed. But you might, in looking at this, say, well, there's something important missing. There's no zero. Or so I read, and so I believed until just about a year ago. When I learned, and some Egyptologists knew this all the time, but they were either afraid to admit it or, for whatever reason, never did. There's the Egyptian zero. Now, in this kind of system where you add the numerals, you're grouping them hundreds. If this were 203, you would still not need a zero placeholder because you don't have place value. But that's not the only use of zero. If you have an account book, and the Egyptians did a phenomenal amount of bookkeeping. They needed to. If 100,000 people worked on the pyramids, and they weren't slaves, they were paid wages during the season when the fields were flooded. The farmers couldn't work anyway. And so it was like public works jobs, as we had during the 30s and seem to need again. If you have 100,000 people working, you have to pay them wages. How do you keep them from stepping on each other's feet? How do you calculate the wages, arrange for the materials? It was a tremendous challenge to the Egyptian administrators, and one that they met very well. So in their account book, if you have an income and you spend it all, what's left? Zero. And that was written in their account book, but the Egyptologists were afraid to translate it because there was just so much prejudice on the issue. The other very important breakthrough involving the use of the Egyptian zero. This is from lines drawn as aids in building pyramids, other huge monuments. They require deep foundations. Leveling lines spaced one cubit apart, and where it says first course, that was usually ground level. They call their ground level, in this case it's three above ground. Okay, I don't know. That's a zero, and so it's too small to see. I put a larger one there. Then they began what was the first use of directed or signed numbers. And we're talking 2700 BCE. One below zero, two cubits below zero, three below zero, and you can read this here. That's the cubit sign, which is the arm from elbow to fingertip, and underneath you read tally marks for eight cubits. It's eight or negative eight, they could have said. The beginning of the metrization of space also goes back to at least 2700 in BCE in Africa.
Thank you. You're still tuned into WBAI 99.5 FM. You just finished listening to a presentation by Dr. Beatrice Lumpkin, and this was on the origins of mathematics. Was Euclid an African or not? And this is a premium that we have offered last Saturday afternoon, and we want to make it available to you, the morning crew, I should say, the morning posse, because most likely most of you wouldn't be listening last Saturday to hear this presentation. And somehow, on the African origins of mathematics, we have two tapes, one which is featuring Dr. Beatrice Lumpkin, and you heard half of it so far. And there's another one also featuring Dr. Garth Baker, who is probably one of the most renowned mathematicians here in the country. And in a little while, we're going to go to the African origins of physics with featuring Dr. John Papademos, who happened to be Greek himself. And this presentation took place a couple years back at Lincoln University. And obviously, it was the issue on multicultural education, as well as the academic aspect of the African origins of some of the, I guess, the necessary tools to make science what it is today. So we are offering these packages to you today, this morning. And for $100, you could get two tapes. One that's featuring Dr. Beatrice Lumpkin, and the next one featuring Garth Baker. And that's for a pledge of $100 if you wish to support WBAI and have in your sound files, in your library, a piece of history that you can share not just with your children but with your friends and loved ones and colleagues. And I guess this is your last chance to get it for this membership drive. We did well last Saturday afternoon. We're hoping that this morning you would find it interesting to somehow hear about away from the romanticism, the true history of mathematics. And in a little while, you're going to be hearing from Dr. John Papademos. And the number to call is 212-209-2950. And that's the number to call to be part of this experience, to help support WBAI. Help us wind down, help us close up this membership drive. It's been quite an interesting couple of weeks. And we cannot wait to basically just wrap up and somehow go back to normal programming, where we don't have to heckle you and asking you to somehow be part of this experience. Mm-hmm. So for $100, you could get the African origins of mathematics. For $75, you could get the African origins of physics. And for the package of two, African origins of mathematics and physics, for $150. And we need your support to stick around and get it done today.
Yeah, I just wonder, Jabel, is it too soon? And he'll correct me right on the air, folks, if you keep calling 212-209-2950. But I was thinking, again, creatively, I guess, I was thinking the African Origins package. And I was hoping that listeners, especially teachers and principals and people who run youth groups, anyone who has anything to do with educating and uplifting children, including parents, would have in their possession from this drive African Cosmology of the Bantu, African Origins of Math, African Origins of Physics, and African Origins of Yoga and Meditation. And we have packages to address each of those. That, to me, is an African Origins package and complete and a great gift for a college graduate or a high school graduate who has to do papers all the time.
And especially the videotape of interview of Dr. Sheikhan Toujob talking about African origins of humanity, man and woman, I should say.
That was Diop?
Yeah, Sheikhan Toujob. And we really would like you to understand that all this presentation dealing with African origins of anything is coming from some experts. And we're not talking about people who flew to Africa come back talking about the continent, but people who have had extensive or have done extensive research and work on these issues and respect it on these fields and making a presentation as is or as it was in history. And to be sitting here today, 2001, to hear history going back 5,000 years before Jesus Christ is being spoken about like it was yesterday, I think it is quite a rare thing to see or hear on airwaves around the world. Anywhere else, you could go anywhere you want around the world, you're not going to be able to hear this kind of programming being done consistently for your own education and to a certain degree enjoyment too.
I wonder what kind of an impact it would make in the math classes in the New York City public school system to have a tape like this for young people to begin to understand that we're badgering to them to learn a math whose origins are in Africa, their roots, their heritage, and how much that would help and encourage and inspire young people to want to learn math. You see, they're taught that everything, that they come from nowhere, and everything they're learning comes from somewhere else. What if teachers and principals start to make the connection for children and let them understand that they come from something significant? These two tapes would make that available to teachers, and you could use it in your PTA meetings. I know, because we've done it. 212-209-2950 is the number. We're going to make this tape available to you this morning. We wanted you to hear it, those of you who didn't hear it in the afternoon, and we have the physics that we're going to play after this. But right now, you can order the Origins of Mathematics tape in Africa. 212-209-2950. We like your credit cards. We love American Express, Master, and Visa cards. However, we will accept an installment plan if you need to do that. You can do that by just letting the volunteer know that you'd like to do that. And we encourage you to do that if you need to do it, all right? And we do we take checks and money orders, and we send invoices. However you need to do it, there's no reason not to have this particular talk if you feel that you can share it with others, use it with your children, listen to it, discuss it in your book clubs and meetings that you have in your salons, to talk about the origins of mathematics in Africa.
And what's interesting about the origins of mathematics and physics is that in today's world, when you look at the history books, there is no sign or pointing toward Alexandria, which was probably the home of the world's largest library, which was eventually burnt by the same people who got their knowledge from those libraries. And things will definitely point toward Euclid and Socrates and those people. We're talking about Greek. I guess the Greek era is the beginning of where these history books talking about the origin of the history, the pure and simple history of physics and mathematics is basically housed as far as the history books are concerned, or the curriculum in here and around the world is concerned in Greece. And most of those Greek scientists or mathematicians or philosophers, thinkers, were known to have traveled to Egypt for years. Some of them, they were there, they've been in Egypt for decades before they went back home. And when they went to Egypt, they were put through the initiation process that made them what they are. And as we always say that when you go to Alexandria, you will see that basically they are still the remnants. You could still find, archaeologists have found more and more, that that library that was burnt is probably still yet to be equaled in terms of information stored. And that's where somehow this whole era of the civilization started. You know, and again, I like to say that being born and raised in a continent of Africa, I'm not sitting here talking about this thing as a feel-good somehow politics, because we're not in that business. We don't have time for it. We know what's going on in Africa today. We know how far away we have drifted away from what we have created. But we do also know how we got there. We do also know that through opening up doors and inviting the world to learn, to be educated, that's how we got ourselves in a position where we've been infiltrated for centuries. And those centuries long of infiltrations and sabotage has put us in this situation we are in today. And by talking about the true history of mathematics and physics, what I am personally hoping to achieve is to rid off that drum major instinct that may be still totally, or that you may be imbued of. And because that is basically the core of our contradictions and our problem in this world. In a sense, when a human being feels that he's entitled to anything on this planet, to entitle, it's like your birthright, but not someone else. It is yours. That's when we find it necessary to check the record straight. I've said the other day, last Friday here on this airwaves, that if you look at the case of the origins of yoga, the African origins of yoga, when we spoke about it here, I think to me the most significant thing was that up until then, most information shared and presented on the issue was basically totally decontextualized by being compartmentalized in a place where it does not really, really, really belong in a sense. And I went on to say that one of the cure, what could be a big solution for places like India, what we can do to avoid implosion is to educate the people about the true origins of the things that they believe in, they hang on so tightly that for them it is worth killing all the human being for. You know, people do things because, you know, that drum major instinct comes from not just your education, but comes from also, it is a legacy sometimes that is left by, in some cases, some people's fathers and forefathers. And then you leave to basically understand that without the drum major instinct, you're going to have to compete on equal footing. I mean, every human being would like to be able to compete on a better footing with a little bit of advantage before you engage into that competition. You know, but the truth is that what makes one so arrogant that you would go out there using a weapon that is not yours, a weapon that is probably there for the universe, for anybody in this on this planet who can find the strength to basically use and reflect on, and to appropriate it to a certain degree where you will look down on other people because you feel that it is yours. So what I'm basically trying to achieve here is to debunk that drum major instinct, because we have the obligation to debunk it in order to somehow create a level field so that we all could prosper and move on. But also in the past, like a couple of weeks ago, when we got into the issues of the African origins of humanity, Dr. Sharon Tijob went on to explain that because of the fact that we all come from one place, we all come from one system of creation or process of creation, that is the reason why there is no better or smarter human being on this planet, because we all were born with the same predisposed human qualities. Now, you could say that over the years or over the centuries, our environment may come into play and affect our way of thinking, our way of seeing things. But in reality, as human beings, whether you're black, blue, checkered, or zebraed, or leopard, or pantherize, or whatever you call it, we are all born equal. And that is the point that in order to avoid war, as some of the founders of this particular network, the pacifists, did after the World War II, we have to figure a way to create a better human understanding. If better human understanding has to do with debunking the myths and the myth of the origins of anything, you know, that is what we have to do. But in doing so, we need you to basically be with us. We need you to remind us that yes, indeed, we are doing the right thing. We need you to show us that yes, indeed, you are listening and you understand what we're trying to do and you appreciate what we try to do. Because adversity or not adversity, we still claim the right to do that which we feel is the right thing to do. Now, I understand that some people may have problem here and there, you know, about almost everything and anything in this station. But I do understand that there are people who do know what's going on, who may not actually agree totally what's going on, but they understand that there is one solution here. The first solution, rule number one, is to save WBA, is to save this radio station. Once we save it, then we could have something to fight on or fight about. So I'm urging you to call, to get to your phone, to call 212-209-2950. That's the number to call. And that's the number you need to call to somehow show us that you're out there, to encourage us and to inspire us to give you more, because we have a lot of material today and we intend to get into these materials along in the course of the day, because we are going to finish our membership drive today for many different reasons. We are not looking as bad as we thought we are, and we say to ourselves, why add another day to keep you away from regular programming that you've been, you know, dying for, that you cannot wait to, you know, some of you want to just tune in and hear Democrats Now. Yes, you will, because it will happen, but we have to finish the drive first. We have to go through what we have to go through. Some of you want to tune in, just listen to Khan. Hey, that's fine, you know, I can't wait to be with you. I mean, Sunrise, Marjorie cannot wait to be with you. I mean, all of us here can't wait to get back into normal programming, but we have a business to take care of, which is very important. This business is, no matter what we do here, this is the most important business, which is to raise funds so that we could stay away from brought to you by Samanjai or brought to you by any corporation or even foundations. You know, it is very important for you to understand that what we do is coming from the heart. We are here today. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We are not here today just to lobby for our presence here tomorrow. No. If anything happens tomorrow, we're still going to walk up and looking up proud and dignified. And we're still going to be back here in the station doing the job that we have to do in a dignified manner. Because everything that goes up must come down someday. And we do understand that and we do accept that. But while we're here, as long as we're here, we want you to understand that our job is to debunk the common myths and realities, the myths of our realities on this planet. Because by understanding that what you're bragging about is not yours, you're going to stop bragging, because bragging is something that's not helpful even for those who brag. And sometimes a lot of things that we do as a human being that hurts other people has to do with bragging, has to do with us, me, I, as once I heard one of our colleagues says, me, I, radio. This is not about me, I, radio. This is a me, we, radio. Let's put it that way.
They say WBAIIII.
But still, we like to thank a few people who were called already this morning. We have one call on the line, and we need more. 209-2950 is the number to call to support what we do here, because we have a lot more material, even though we're going to be spending the day urging you to
thank
support
you.
What we do. We still want to share some of the materials that we have. Yeah, we'd like to... we would like to thank Jonathan Harris, and thank you very much, and we appreciate your contribution. We'd like to thank someone, there's no yes or no, and this happened to be coming from St. James Press in Brooklyn. Thank you very much for taking the package. It is quite refreshing to know that you're out there early morning and willing to help the station. I see another card without a specification whether we should thank or not, but Plainfield, New Jersey, wherever you are, we thank you very much for taking the packages. We have today, we're starting today with the origins of mathematics and physics. For those two packages, we will give it to you for $150. If you want to just stick with the origins of mathematics, we give it to you for $100, and it is featuring Dr. Beatrice Lumpkin, a professor emeritus at the Malcolm X College in Chicago, making the presentation at Lincoln University. And of course, Dr. Garth Baker, who happened to be then a professor at Lincoln, a visiting professor at Lincoln, one of the most renowned mathematicians. And if we get enough calls, or if we get enough response from you listeners, we will get on the other part of the mathematics. But we'll look forward to share with you in a minute the African origins of physics, featuring Dr. John Papadamour. John Papadamour happened to be from Greek. He is a Greek physician who understand the Greco contribution into the world civilization, which we are not denying. I personally not denying, because life is an evolutionary process. And the thing is, yes, it started in Africa, but it evolved around the world. And when it came to Egypt, those students of Africans who came back home in Egypt did well with whatever they learned in Africa, and they took it at a different level. Now, the only problem we have here is that the evolutionary process has been tempered with. We are being told that it started a few centuries BC, and we are saying no, it started 5,000, thousands of years before Jesus Christ. And this is something that people, the world, have to understand, that today America, let's say, is ruling the world today, but tomorrow only Lord knows who is going to do it. Because as I said, it is an evolutionary process. It went through the Africans, it went through the Persians, it went through so many different processes before it gets into this Eurocentric perspective of civilization. And what is interesting about that is that I understand that probably one of the most destructive part of this evolutionary process is taking place right now as we're speaking, and it has been inspired by the Eurocentric outlook of development, Eurocentric outlook of industrial revolution, Eurocentric outlook of the uses of nature. And that is why somehow we find it necessary to somehow remind the people is great civilization have been built, but never the nature has been so victimized by any element in that chain of evolutionary process that took place 5,000 of years before Jesus Christ, that took place in Nubia before even it came to Egypt. And it is very important for the people to understand it. And with no disrespect to Eurocentric thinkers, no disrespect to Eurocentric developers or whatever you call them, but the truth is, nature has never suffered this much because there is a certain lack of spirituality in the Eurocentric element of development or thinking of vision of development. And what we are telling you is those great pyramids was built with a great sense of spirituality. It was not just science, it was not just manipulating things and nature, it was somehow human science that was right in the middle of it. The science of human being, understanding of what the human being is, that is where we started, and that's how we could manage to make such a great achievement that is still yet unequal. And only when the Eurocentrists came into the picture with the industrial revolution, total disrespect of mankind, of nature, that's the reason why today we're facing what we're facing. And it is important for the people to understand and accept that it is the fact. You could see it, you could, most of the genocidal activities took place during this Eurocentric control of this world. So I am telling you that these packages we are giving you, it has to do with the debunking that myth and that way, that lifestyle, that way of thinking, that somehow relentless pursuit to self-destruction. It is important. Yes, indeed. Today we are offering the African origins of physics and mathematics, and that package, the combination of the two, will cost you $150. And for $75, we're going to give you the African origins of physics, and for $100, the African origins of mathematics. And the number to call is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Support us. Let us know that you're out there. Let us know that, yes, you want to hear more, because we have the material and we are looking forward to share it with you. And without to be here with you all day long, we're going to give you material, but in the process, in the meantime, if you would like to tune in tomorrow morning and just hear programming, plain and simple programming, what we do best, support us today. Because I'm not saying that if the day doesn't work, you know, if it doesn't work well, we're going to come back tomorrow as we ask for some cash. But it would be easier and better for us to go to bed tonight understanding that this page has been closed, and we have to move on and get back into the element of reconstruction. We have to reconstruct this station. We don't need to tell you that. You know it. I'm sure you asked for it. You're like, guys, no, something has to be done. It's been done. But everything has to be done in the process. The process is here. You know, and in the meantime, while I'm speaking, you're listening to the music of Jean-Luc Ponty featuring many different African musicians. And earlier, we've been listening to the music of Los Hombres Calientes, and this is featuring Irving Mayfield on horn, trumpet, and Bill Summers on percussion. And this is coming from the Congo Square, and this is titled Volume 3, New Congo Square. And this is an excellent album. This is the album that took them to Brazil, to Jamaica, to Cuba, to Dominica, and of course in the South, a mixture of what we talk about, the blues, the reggae. Of course, the blues as the connecting element as a common thread, you know, between the cumbia to the merengue to the son to the samba. As a matter of fact, while we're talking about samba, let's go to a track called Fantasia de Samba. And believe it or not, this is coming from the South, Bill Summers on percussion and Irving Mayfield on horns. And when they do samba, it truly sounds like something that's coming straight from Brazil. And when they do in the son, it sounds like something that's coming straight out of Cuba. All and right. When they do in the Lindy Hop style, how do you call it again? That Mardi Gras feeling. Uh-huh. You think that you're way back in the South.
Oh, and let's go there.
And this is now.
All right, you callers are doing great. We have three callers on the line at 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. We have three callers on the line to get this fabulous information about the origins of mathematics in Africa. Thank you for that call. Can we have a couple more join those callers? You're doing a great job. 212-209-2950. It's important for everyone to understand the roots of mathematics, not just African American people. All of us have been miseducated about the roots and origins of a variety of subjects. Philosophy is another subject which we could spend some time talking about. But today we have the roots of mathematics and physics in Africa. And if you are working in a school at all, working with young people, this is a tape you want to have, you want to educate yourself, and you want to share it with young people around you. 212-209-2950. Come on, folks, let's do the work here. We can get through this morning. We can offer you more things. We have plenty of stuff coming up for you, but we wanted to start with this particular package this morning for $150, these two tapes. Thank you for that call. Will you join that caller? Please join that call. We have three callers on the line. 212-209-2950 is the number. 212-209-2950.
And also, I would like to say that even though I wanted to play Fantasia de Samba, this is Brother Getting Caught from Los Hombres Calientes, and we're going to let it drift into the Fantasia de Samba. And also, I'll let you know that for all the people who have been calling for the past week for the Egyptian yoga packages, we have worked out a workshop, a private workshop for the WBAI listeners. All these people who have called on, who called to acquire those packages, we want you to know that, yes, we're going to have a WBAI workshop with Dr. Muata and Karen Ashby, and for $100 contribution, $100 contribution to WBAI, you'll be invited to a 6-hour workshop. It's going to spread on the weekend. It's going to be morning and afternoon. You could call it a whole day workshop with Dr. Muata and Karen Ashby. And some of you probably wondered how you're going to be able to connect the images that you're going to see on the videotapes and the images on the book and the literature on the book and what's on the tape with your physical body. Now you're going to have the chance to meet with Dr. We have so many professors,
yeah,
on the airwaves. We call Dr. Muata Ashby and Karen Ashby. They're going to be our guests here in New York City. They're coming in to have a workshop with our listeners because you asked for it. You responded greatly on these packages that we offered you. We're going to offer you some of these packages again at some point during the day. And it's available for $100. You will be part of a workshop, a day-long workshop with Dr. Karen and Muata Ashby. And you should not miss that one, especially for those who spend $250 to get the major package that includes videotape, audio cassettes, and the CDs and the books. especially you, I'm pretty sure you would want to somehow connect the dots with your physical body and to be sitting there with them, along with other BAI listeners in a workshop. And this is a private workshop for you for $100. And yes, this is Fantasia de Samba coming from Los Hombres Caliente. And Los Hombres Caliente is Irvin Mayfield and Bill Summers, both from New Orleans, and this is what they do. When they play samba, it truly sounds like samba. When they play son, it sounds like son. And when they play reggae music, it truly sounds like reggae. And they go into the roots to get the music, plus what they already have. Uh-huh. Two zero nine twenty nine fifty is the number to call. In a minute, in about 5 minutes, we're gonna go to tape on the origins of physics in Africa, and we have to move on. We have a long day, and we're looking to share with you some of the packages we have offered already. And if you were not there to hear it when it was offered the first time, this is your last chance to get them, and we wanna get into so many different packages that we have to move on. I give you 5 minutes, and the number to call is 212-209-2950, and that is for you to call and inquire about the packages we're offering. You could either get the African Origins of Mathematics for $100, or you get the African Origins of Physics for $75, or get both African Origins of Mathematics and Physics for $150. But also, we are offering you a workshop with Dr. Karen and Mwata Ashby, and this is on the Egyptian yoga, and dealing with the philosophy of yoga itself, the origins of yoga. Of course, it comes along with the diet and the exercise and the meditation itself. We have offered you 4 packages from Dr. Mwata and Karen Ashby. You responded greatly, and we thought that somehow the next step would be to put together a workshop, which we are offering you today for $100. So in about a minute, we're going to go into tape. We go to African Origins of Physics, and this is featuring Dr. Papadamour. But before we go there, I want to give you from another track from Los Hombres Caliente, and this one is reggae music coming from nowhere else but New Orleans. So stay tuned. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM. My name is Jibel Fai, and it's a pleasure to be here, and it is definitely my pleasure to be sitting here helping to debunk the myths of the myths and realities of our time. Los Hombres Caliente.
Not the one.